In your life, what types of fears did you have that affected you as a child and maybe even in later years?
That's a great question. I definitely grew up in a household with some things to be afraid of. My father was a rageaholic and was a violent man. He was violent with my mother and threatened violence to myself and my siblings many, many times. And so there was a constant air of fear that seemed to go on in the household. We never knew when he might explode. And so that was a big, ongoing, traumatic fear experience that I had.
Welcome. I'm Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Every day, you give so much of yourself to those you love. Through this podcast, I'll guide you on a journey to reawaken the greatness that lies within you. In each episode, you'll hear incredible stories of transformation from me and my guests that will inspire you to design and manifest a life that is in harmony with your soul's purpose. You are meant to live the life you'd love. Let me show you how. Hi, welcome everybody. This is To Your Greatness with Dawn Mathis. And today we're going to talk about resolving your fear. So I just wanted to preempt our talk today by saying that fear can serve a purpose sometimes to protect us from things like, well, telling us not to walk in a dark alley at night or not to walk in the lion's cage at a zoo. So in those respects, fear can be a great thing. And yet, sometimes fear can actually be something that stymies us, that keeps us from being or becoming the best version of ourselves. And you're not going to listen to me today on this podcast. I have an expert. And let me tell you who we have. We have Reverend Dr. Michelle Medrano from the Mile High Church in Lakewood, Colorado. Let me tell you a little bit about Michelle, and then I'm going to ask her some questions. So Reverend Dr. Michelle Medrano actually found religious science at the age of 15. And upon walking into Mile High Church of Religious Science in Denver, Colorado, she knew she was home. Michelle started volunteering at that church and eventually joined its administrative staff, where she worked for 6 years. She continued her studies and became a practitioner. And in 1991, after receiving her degree from the Ernest Holmes College, she became a minister. She then went to be an assistant minister at the Huntington Beach Church of Religious Science for 4 years. Then the senior minister at New Vision Center for Spiritual Living in Phoenix, Arizona for 17 years. And then returned home to Mile High in 2013 as an associate minister at that time. In early 2019, with the retirement of the longtime senior minister, Michelle accepted the role of co-lead minister along with Reverend Joshua Reeves. Her first book launched on May 9th of this year and is titled Resolve Your Fears, Activating Your Spiritual Immune System. Welcome. May I call you Michelle?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Well, welcome to the podcast, Michelle. I'm so happy to have you. And heard about your book when I was actually attending the service, and immediately, I think I was the second person in line to purchase it that day. It was so exciting, and I've read it, and I love the book, and then you were gracious enough to be on the podcast and talk about your book and about some life experiences that I know that the listeners will benefit from. So shall we get started?
Yes, let's
okay,
please do.
Great. Thank you. All right. So my first question to you is in your life, what types of fears did you have that affected you as a child and maybe even in later years?
That's a great question. I definitely grew up in a household with some things to be afraid of. My father was a rageaholic and was a violent man. He was violent with my mother and threatened violence to myself and my siblings many, many times. And so there was a constant air of fear that seemed to go on in the household. We never knew when he might explode. And so that was a big ongoing traumatic fear experience that I had. And then when I got into school, well, I did pretty well in school, but by the time I was in about fourth grade, I started being bullied for being overweight. Even though technically I wasn't overweight, but kids started bullying me. And I went to school with fear in my gut every single day for many years, and grew up being afraid of people, afraid of men, especially after my experience with my father, and afraid of people's criticism, afraid that people were seeing me a certain way. I've never been much afraid of things in the world. I'm not afraid of the weather necessarily, although I've had a few experiences that brought up some fear that I write about in my book. And I am not afraid of violence in the world and things like that. But I've had fear at that human level, from human to human, really sort of run me at times. And so that's a part of what I've worked on all these years, to be able to transcend that fear myself.
Wow. That's pretty heavy. And
yeah,
and I'm sure there's more of us out there that have those experiences than maybe don't share them, but those things can definitely affect your life.
Oh, most definitely. Have a lasting impact. And the thing I think that people don't realize is that those of us who've grown up in an environment where there was a lot of fear, or there were parents around us who were always afraid, and therefore we kind of took on their fears by osmosis, it doesn't just go away. It doesn't go away if you just ignore it. It doesn't just go away if you pretend it's not there. It doesn't just go away if you gloss over it with addictions or with workaholism, or you just to pretend. It's always there below the surface. And resolving our fears is about being willing to see them and do the work necessary to heal them, so that we can be a better version of ourselves, a more courageous and empowered version of ourselves, truly.
Well, I think you kind of answered my second question, and that was just, as an adult, what are some of the greatest fears, if you care to divulge them, and how do you face them? What do you do?
Well, I have faced my fears in a lot of different ways, recognizing that my fears were in many ways stifling me. I was frozen. I talk about, and I think a lot about my go-to way with when I was a kid with my dad's threats, where I would just literally freeze physically in every other way. I would freeze and just hope that he was not going to make good on his threats. And so what I started discovering as an adult is that as I was pursuing the dreams that I had, wanting to pursue relationships, wanting to have a better life, that if I got afraid, if anything came up that rose up to scare me, which it might be an obstacle, it might be my own inner thoughts, it might be the world of effects not quite going the way I wanted them to, or someone telling me that I couldn't. If I felt afraid, I would freeze. And in freezing, then I wasn't actually pursuing the things that I wanted to pursue. So when I felt that same freezing experience and knew that I especially wanted to grow up and someday get married and have children, that I would have to deal with this fear I had, especially of men, I did go do some work on myself. I was fortunate enough to have a mother who by that time in her life had also done a lot of work on herself to free her from this violent marriage. And that work initially looked like therapy. It looked like workshops and self-improvement books. And eventually it looked like the spiritual community that I'm still a part of and now a minister of, the Mile High Church, Religious Science, Science of Mind, because what I learned in that teaching were relevant tools that I could use to shift my thinking. But I also learned, and I really don't think it matters what faith tradition someone's a part of. It's about learning that there is a force or a power or a presence greater than us that we can rely upon and that we can feel comforted by and guided by and supported by. And those two things help me alleviate my fears. The willingness to challenge my beliefs and to challenge and practice spiritual principles for myself on behalf of my life and forgive my father and even forgive my mother and really let go and surrender those fears have now become practices that allow me to do that anytime I'm afraid about anything. So wow. It's made a huge difference for me.
Well, that just makes me think of something that you just said about forgiveness, that forgiveness is part of facing fear. I've never thought of
forgiveness
that
is another.
Wow. What a golden nugget right there.
Yeah. Unforgiveness, resentment, or, you know, fear from that past is another way we freeze ourselves. Because we think that forgiveness, a lot of people mistake forgiveness for other people, but forgiveness is really for us because forgiveness frees us. Forgiveness allows us to let go of the past, to be willing to say, I'm not going to be run by that past experience. Not that I necessarily condone the behavior of that person. Not that I would say it was ever okay that it occurred, that it was just fine that it occurred. But I can say, I am going to free myself from the pain of that situation by forgiving and letting go so that I can move forward.
Wow. You know how some people say, well, that's a whole nother Oprah about forgiveness. We'll have to have you back for forgiveness, and that'll be a whole nother Reverend Dr. Michelle Medrano. So we'll bring that one up in the future because that's a huge one, I think, for all of us. So, Michelle, from the perspective of what's been going on around us lately, what have people, especially those, you know, young people that are about our age, what are you hearing or seeing as far as fear for people out there in your workaday world?
Well, I think that there has always been and continues to be much that people can fear about our world, especially, of course, in this past year with our pandemic that's been going on. People are afraid of each other. People are afraid that someone else is going to make them sick. They're afraid that they're going to get sick. They're afraid that people that they care about are going to get sick and they're going to experience death. People are afraid of losing their loved ones. People are afraid of their own physical well-being in terms of not only their health, but their financial well-being. Will they lose their job? Will they lose their ability to live a normal life if they do get sick? So there's just so much to fear. And, you know, throughout our history, I think as human beings, there's always been things that we can experience to be afraid of and find to be afraid of. I don't know that I could ever point to a time where I could say, well, there was more to be afraid of then than there is now, or there's more to be afraid of now than there is then. Because there's always that existential fear of, we're going to be destroyed. We're going to be at a war and another group of people are going to destroy our planet or destroy us or destroy our country or destroy our infrastructure. Right now, I hear a lot about going on of not the wars that are physical wars with violence and chemical warfare, but the wars of technology and hacking and that sort of thing. People afraid that the bad guys could bring down the infrastructures and things like that. So I hear when I talk to people, lots of things to be afraid of all the time. Of course, the fear of gun violence, the fear of terrorism. We just had a shooting right here in our town. Well, we had a couple of them in the last few months, some major events. So people afraid of those kinds of things too. So if we really wanted to dig ourselves a hole into fear, we could do it very easily, I think.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sad events around the pandemic and the gun violence and the social injustice and all of that.
Yes.
So what would you tell someone who's afraid to, well, let me just back up a second. I remember when we first started wearing masks and when this thing really started escalating and all the people dying, especially initially in Italy, and when we were wearing masks and having to stand outside in the snow so that we could get into Costco, for goodness sakes. And
right.
Just, I was wearing a shirt. I think it just said, just be kind. And I'd be like, how are you today? Or trying to get people to engage, even though I was 6 feet apart from them. And people were even afraid to talk to each other.
And yes.
So
yes.
And now some of my clients, some of my friends are telling me, I'm afraid to leave my house. Not just because of the pandemic, but because of the violence. What would you tell someone that would come to you with that? What do you tell people?
Well, you know, you said it in the introduction. I think that fear itself is not a bad thing. Fear can be a guiding force. Fear can be a great thing if we're walking someplace and we need to not go there. Fear can be a great support if we're about to get into a car or on an airplane and something bad is going to happen. The problem is we're overusing fear. And so literally when fear sets in, our whole body sets off a whole bunch of chemicals that involve adrenaline and such that allow us to run. We used to need to run from wild animals. We used to need to run from to save our lives and to not be killed, you know, in our history of evolution. But we are way over utilizing fear. So we are constantly launching these chemicals off in our body by continuing to be afraid. And I think way under utilizing our intuitive nature, our guidance system, our internal guidance system that can guide us. I just refuse to live a life where I'm afraid to go out and do things. But I understand that if we look out at the world of form, just like we were outlining, we could list off a whole bunch of things to be afraid of, and that could cause people to just want to stick at their home and never leave again. But for me, I find a better solution is to trust this inner guidance within me. I don't mean to sound blasé about it, but there's going to come a time where every one of us is called to leave this planet, where our soul's journey is up. And I personally believe that's not going to happen sooner than it's supposed to happen. And therefore, I'm not going to spend a single moment of my life fearing for my death. But I am going to spend a lot of time in my life allowing myself to deepen my own intuitive nature, to feel my own guidance system, to find my God, to find my source, to pray each day, and to allow myself to be guided as I walk out the door every day, to feel clear, is this a day I need to stay indoors? Is this a day I don't need to go to the mall? Is this a day I should not get on that airplane? You know, every day I fly, every time I fly, I pray and I feel into, is there any reason that I should stay off this airplane? And if I ever got a clear red flag, do not get on that plane, I'm not getting on that plane. Yeah. I'm just not. But what people do is they live their life every day sort of in that red flag situation. And they just assume that it's dangerous for them to go out into their world. And it's actually statistically, it's not nearly as dangerous as we make it out to be, as I say in my book. But we have the media that eggs us on and encourages us to be very afraid. We have our own inner voices. We have other people around us encouraging us to be afraid. And we're not listening to ourselves. We're not listening to our own guidance. And we're not facilitating ourselves to a greater sense of peace. And just trusting that if I'm not supposed to be out and about today, I won't be. Something will tell me or guide me. I'll have an inner sense. And so that's what I hope people will start to do. And that's what I try to do, is just really listen. I also have a number of times in my life where I've gotten really, really deeply afraid. And I've used affirmations and I've used my own inner awareness to help myself calm down, to get to clarity. And one of my greatest affirmations that I still use today that I put in the book is, I'm always at the right place at the right time to ensure my total safety.
Yes, I remember you saying that.
I'm always
at service when you were talking about fear in your book, and yeah. I wrote that one down.
Yeah, I can't control the weather. I can't control what other people do. I can't control the people who want to bring guns out and shoot other people. But I can control where I am. And I've experienced many times in my life being at the right place at the right time. So I decided that my affirmation that I would utilize would be just continuing to affirm that I'm just always at the right place. I'm just always where I'm supposed to be. And I am the kind of person where I tell people, if you want to use your inner guidance system, every day that you drive someplace that is familiar, if an inner voice says, go left when you normally go right, by all means, practice for a while just going left and see what happens.
Amen to that.
You know, and many times I've discovered that because I went left, I'll check it out later. And if I'd gone right, there was a car accident up there, or there was some delay up there, or there was something that occurred in that neighborhood that I didn't need to be in on. And so my going left kept me out of some stuff, you know? So yes. listening, using that affirmation.
Well, your dear friend and my mentor, Mary Morrissey, talks a lot about that inner voice, that still small voice, which we call intuition.
Yes.
And intuition is
yes.
actually where the voice of our divine is talking to the human side of us. And I've had clients, mm-hmm. and you probably have too. Well, how do you know if it's intuition or if it's something else?
Yeah.
And what Mary yeah. says, and I've heard you say this in different ways as well, and that is, you know the difference because your intuition is never loud and scary and screaming at you. It's a still small voice, mm-mm. and it can guide you many times in the right direction versus listening to the screaming Mimi of fear. So to speak.
Yeah. And that intuitive voice, it never berates us. It never shames us. The only time I've experienced it to be loud is that there have been moments where I was about to walk into danger and it was pretty strong. And sometimes it's not even a voice. For me, it can also be a felt feeling. Some of us get a gut feeling. That's why people say gut feelings, because I know for me, when there's something in my world that's not quite right, I feel it in my gut. It may not be that voice that says, get out of there. It's that gut feeling that says, okay, something doesn't feel right. And it wakes me up to look around and say, what's going on? And I have a sense, a knowing sense, but it's always very calm. It might be intense, but calm. You need to leave right now. You need to go left right now. That, and so I practice, like I said, listening to that in the most little ways in my life, so that if a big moment comes along, I have a well-practiced intuitive right. sense
and,
of and things.
We mm-hmm. get that when we listen. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And the more we're obedient to it, listen to it and heed it, the more we're telling our entire system, our nervous system, our intuitive system, I am a being who will be obedient and listen to my inner guidance. But the more we gloss over it, it's sort of like I have this car that has all this tech in it, and the car starts to learn my preferences and offers me fewer things in the tech of the car, because it starts to go, oh, she doesn't ever want to use that very much. Oh, she doesn't want that. So after a few times, it stops using it. And I think our intuitive voice is a lot like that. We had it fully on board when we were born, but we kind of get cultured out of using it. And so the more we use it, the more we go back to it and say, I'm going to listen. I'm going to use my intuition to say, how shall I feed my body today? How shall I move my body today? I have a free day. I don't have anywhere to go. Where shall I go today? And I'm going to listen and practice it. And just like that tech, the more you practice it, that's like the more it shows itself, the more it comes up to be utilized, yeah. for sure.
Well, I want to spend some time talking about your book. So,
yes,
that for those of you who are seeing this on on video. And the name of the book is Resolve Your Fears, Activate Your Spiritual Immune System by Reverend Dr. Michelle Medrano. And it's a quick read, and it's very easy to read. And I love books like that because, I mean, there's so much tech and so much other stuff that's just like, blah. And this is, this is like a breath of fresh air. So I highly recommend you guys get
Thank you.
And I know it was probably a little bit of fear when you decided to write this book. This is your first book, right? And
yes,
you probably
yes.
had some fear around that. Yeah.
I did.
So what motivated you to write this book and to write it from the perspective of spiritual immune system?
Well, two things. I was blessed to join a writer's workshop a few years ago. It was in May of 2019, where the goal was to write a book that a reader could read in 3 hours or less about a topic you were passionate about. And when I and it was the leaders of the workshop, one of them is a spiritual guy like me, and he sort of led us in kind of a closed eye process. And when I thought about, if I could solve one problem on the planet that I think would help people be much happier in their lives, what would it be? And so what rose up for me was fear. And then as I started working with the idea of fear and going through the writer's workshop, which they would have us, first of all, come up with the topic and potential working titles, and then to kind of break it down into what we would suggest to solve the problem. And then we started kind of tackling it by going in and just doing writing. He would say to everybody in the workshop, okay, write. And so I had theorized for a while that the body has this immune system that is just spectacular, right? That when we do things consciously to make our immune system stronger, you and I could be in a room together and you could have a horrible virus and I could breathe in that virus, but my immune system was so strong that it would not allow the virus to take hold. And doctors and researchers, oncologists say all the time that we always have some cancer cells in our bodies, but our immune system just takes care of them. So what's the difference between a person who breathes in a virus and gets sick and a person who doesn't? It's the strength of their immune system. And knowing that there are things we can do consciously to be physically stronger, I decided to correlate that to fear. And said to myself, I believe there's a spiritual immune system too. And that if people practice some of the things we've been talking about thus far, Don, in their lives, that they build an immune system within themselves such that I feel so connected and feel so assured and feel so able to work with my own beliefs and thoughts that I could walk out into the world and the world could broadcast the most fear-based stuff going on, and it would not take hold within me, and not unless it was meant to be mine. It would that my spiritual immune system would just be able to be still allow me to be happy, to be fulfilled, to be joyous, to feel connected, to be a contribution to the world, to be of service to people, but not be caught up in fear unless there's some guidance that tells me I need to go a different direction. And that if we could all work to build our spiritual immune system, that it would serve us. And then it was interesting because as I did the research on the physical immune system, our book was meant to be 5 chapters in its body. There are 5 elements of the physical immune system. So I was able to take those and correlate those to this conversation. So that's what the book is about. And it gives some personal stories and some techniques and has some questions at the end of every chapter for the reader to contemplate to help them build their immune system.
And I love that model because it's a book, but it's also a workbook. And I love that. To me, that's an interactive book. And I just love that. I wish more authors would do that. What's your favorite chapter in the book? I'll tell you what my favorite title is. Get a spiritual spleen.
Yes, what's that?
That's my favorite. Do you have a favorite?
I like that one too. That was fun. I like that one. I like the white light one because I really like the notion of the white blood cells that that do such magic in our immune system. And I am kind of my friend calls me a woo woo wackadoo girl. I am a woo woo girl in that I do believe there's lots of great white light on our planet that is showering all of us. And that if we could just feel the light of the universe, that we would be so much better. So I like the correlation of that and the image of that. So that's probably
absolutely
my favorite part.
Absolutely. And if more of us were woo woo, then we would have more woo hoo, I think, in the world. But that's just me.
Yeah.
So I wanted to.
It's a great way to put that.
To share with our listeners today a few things from your book. Would that be all right? Okay.
Yes.
At the end of the book, there are some suggestions for new habits. You know, you don't have to keep thinking the same thoughts that you think every day. And 95% at least of the thoughts we think every day. So no wonder we're
right.
Still in the same boat that we've been in. But here's a few things that Michelle says
yes.
in her book in the conclusion. One is creating an affirmation to say repeatedly that can help you in your daily life or when fear rises up. And Michelle shared hers with you. The other thing is getting prayer support and finding a faith tradition. Or having friends that will that will include you in their prayers, knowing that you're not alone. And then I love this one. Creating a courage journal. Researching stories
yes.
of people who've gotten past their fears. I mean, the world is full of them. If we paid attention to those people like Oprah Winfrey, that overcame all kinds of things and overcame fear. Those are great stories. And if we fed ourselves those instead of what the media feeds us, feed yourself. Don't be fed by the media. And what about your own things that you've done in life, that you've shown courage? Write those down, because sometimes we really forget how powerful we've been at different points in our lives. And we just need to be
yeah.
reminded of how great we are and about that greatness inside of us. Would you agree with that?
I would. And I think that a lot of people fall prey to the notion that if they're feeling fear, that they're weak. But that the reason that the researching the stories of other people, courage stories, is so important is that I can pretty much guarantee any person that any of us look out at and think that they're very successful or that they've been able to overcome things or have their dreams come true. It's not because they didn't have fears. It's because they learned to overcome their fears. Every human being has fears. It's not that you're abnormal if you have fear. It's just that we don't have to freeze within our fears, that we can be courageous and we can walk forward into the lives we'd like to live. And there, like you're saying, there are lots of other examples of people who have been able to conquer their fear and have the life they'd love to
Amen
live.
Amen to that. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
So what, as we're drawing this in for a close, Michelle, what would be the number one thing you would tell our audience today that they can do to resolve their fear? Is there one thing that stands out or a couple of things that stand out, just gold nuggets?
Well, I think what you are just pointing to is one of the biggest things that humans need to pay attention to. Stop believing everything you think. Just because you think it doesn't make it so. So as we look out at the world and we're prone to think fear, to be willing to challenge ourselves and say, what would it take for me to let go of this fear? And who could I be if I did let go of this fear? And I think asking ourselves, so stop believing everything we think, and then asking ourselves good questions about what we think we think. Where did we start thinking this? Who taught us to think this way? Is this what we really think? Or is this just what we were told by our mothers or told by the media or told by someone who maybe cared greatly about us, but said, whatever you do, don't ever do blah, 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 blah. And a part of us wants to do blah, 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 but we're afraid because we know that blah, 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 you know, might be something we should be afraid of. So I think it's that combination of stop believing everything we think, challenge our thinking, and begin to build a new reality for ourselves.
Wow. Michelle, wow. I wish we had 2 hours, but my podcasts are only supposed to last as long as it takes someone to drive to work. Of course, lately it's been taking a long time to get to work, right? But I thank you so much for your words of wisdom, your expertise, and for taking us deeper into fear and its antidote, the spiritual immune system. And you can also reach Michelle through Mile High Church in Lakewood, Colorado. And we'll have those resources for you in the podcast notes after this episode is recorded and processed and produced. So this is To Your Greatness. I'm Dawn Mathis, and we'll see you next time. Take care. Thank you for joining me on To Your Greatness. If you're inspired by what you heard and are ready to take a deeper dive into your own life's purpose, I'd love to offer you a complimentary life reflection session. In this session, I'll help you get clearer about what's been holding you back and how you can rediscover the greatness that lies within you. If this is something you would love, I invite you to head to my website, toyourgreatness.net, where you can take the first step in this journey. Spots are limited, so claim yours today. You are so much more than what you do for others. I believe there is a dream inside you just waiting to be fulfilled. If you agree, I invite you to take that first step and visit www.toyourgreatness.net right now. I can't wait to meet with you. My name is Dawn Mathis, and this is To Your Greatness. Remember, your greatness lies within you. See you next time. And if you enjoyed today's episode, I invite you to subscribe and keep listening. Remember to like, share, and review this podcast to help other listeners like you find their way to this heart-centered community. Thank you so much.